Welcome back to the program, listeners. Tyler Friel with you. We are highlighting election 2020 and focusing over the next 2 weeks on races that impact our listeners here in the Butler County area. Our candidate in this particular segment is the Republican for the 8th Legislative District. It is current Representative Tim Bonner. Tim, thanks again for taking the time and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate the invitation and I look forward to answering your questions and communicating with the citizens of the 8th House District.
So, Tim, you have been in office, you've been in Harrisburg, and you are seeking re-election. What specific major accomplishments? You know, we talk sometimes as a whole about, you know, just being in public service and things like that, but what particularly would you like to get done, and why do you want to go to Harrisburg for another 2 years?
Serving in the legislature has been a lifelong dream. I realized early on I would never become a Major League Baseball player after playing Little League, so I always thought since third grade that I wanted to serve in the legislature, and at this point in time in my career, it was a great opportunity, one that I did not want to let pass by, and I think I bring to the position significant background strengths that has enabled me to go to Harrisburg and become an effective voice for the citizens of the 8th House District since my swearing in on April 6. Some of my background that has prepared me for this opportunity, I have significant experience in the criminal justice system. After graduating from Notre Dame Law School, I did serve as a prosecutor for 20 years. So I have strong background in the criminal justice system and have a good understanding of the issues that police must deal with on a daily basis and how the criminal justice system works, not only from the perspective of the accused, but also the perspective of the victim and how justice is meted within the courtrooms, so I can better assist addressing issues of the criminal justice system in the state legislature. I'm one of the few prosecutors now in state legislature. Secondly, I have a strong background in healthcare. I served as chairman of the Grove City Medical Center Board of Directors for 40 years on the board, 30 years as chairman. So I've also been general counsel for the Grove City Medical Center, dealing with critical health care issues. And I now sit on the board of Allegheny Health Network, and I previously sat on the board of UPMC. So I bring to the state legislature significant background in health care issues, which can help greatly in resolving the disputes that are now present between those two major healthcare institutions and healthcare issues in general. Thirdly, I have a strong background in education. I've been general counsel for Grove City College for 35 years, so I have a strong background in higher education. But I also have a strong background in the public school system, serving as solicitor for several school districts within the 8th District. I have been a government advisor to many governmental agencies at the county and local level for the past 40 years. So I bring a strong background in the critical areas the legislature is now addressing on a daily basis, in criminal justice, health care, education, and governmental relationships. So I was prepared to hit the floor of the State House running from my day of swearing in, and I believe that I have been a strong voice for the residents of the 8th District, not only on the floor of the State House, but also within the committee structure.
I want to ask you about COVID-19. That's obviously, it feels like at the forefront of almost everyone's mind in Pennsylvania. You're not going to wish it away. And so what is the best path forward? It seems like we have been, at least in the Harrisburg level, litigating what has happened in hindsight. But what do you believe is the best role that the state legislature can play in navigating the next few months, the next year, in the coronavirus pandemic environment?
I want to first express my thoughts and prayers for all of those who have family and loved ones who have been affected by COVID-19, and to encourage all people to comply with the health and safety protocols as set by the Center for Disease Control in our daily lives. Initially, the governor declared an emergency on March 6th under the Emergency Management Act, and he said that he would issue executive orders to battle the virus until he flattened the curve of case increases, and he was assured that our hospital beds would not be overrun. These goals set by the governor initially as the basis for his emergency rule were met in approximately 6 weeks after he made his declaration of emergency rule. And I believe at that time the emergency rule should have stopped, and that governance should proceed thereafter on this issue in accord with normal provisions of constitutional rule. However, the one-man rule by Governor Wolf has continued even through the emergency conditions, even though the emergency conditions have been successfully confronted, and emergency rule will likely continue until we have a successful vaccine, which is months away, which is very different than what the governor initially said the purpose of his emergency rule was based upon. Under the arbitrary edicts of Governor Wolf, we have endured an at-home lockdown of healthy people, depriving people of the right to earn a living, to support their family, to gather to worship, to go to school, to visit loved ones, and to engage in normal life activities. This was unprecedented in American history. We have had quarantines in the past where we have isolated those who have the disease or been exposed to it, but we have never locked down healthy people before in the history of the United States. Additionally, the governor ordered a shutdown of vibrant businesses based on a poorly defined distinction between life-sustaining businesses, which could remain open, versus non-life-sustaining businesses, which had to close. But no criteria was given by the governor to distinguish between these two categories. And people were left very much in the dark whether they could work or not. I had always thought that any job which provided for a family was life-sustaining, so I was also puzzled by this distinction. The governor allowed businesses, however, to apply for waivers, to move from a closed status to an open status and to operate their business, and 4,000 of these waivers were granted, but with no explanation why some were granted and others were denied. Even Governor Wolf's fellow Democrat, Auditor General Eugene DePasquale, called the business closure and waiver program of Governor Wolf a Keystone Cop travesty. And Governor Wolf had to concede that the business closure program was poorly explained and poorly administered. But this program was devastating to our business and families, particularly restaurants, real estate, construction, car dealerships, and small businesses. Walmart could remain open, but not mom-and-pop family stores. There were limitations also on crowd gatherings that greatly affected our daily lives. Church worship, weddings, sporting events, graduation ceremonies, family reunions have all been canceled due to Governor Wolf's one-man edict. As a result of the shutdown, then, of life by Governor Wolf, economic devastation has come to Pennsylvania, not only to our families, but to the ability of state government to meet the dire needs of its citizens. Our state budget is approximately $35 billion per year, and we project a shortfall this year in state revenue of $4.6 billion, a 14% cut in money to meet vital needs and services like doctor bills, hospital costs, schools, roads, law enforcement, state employees, and pensions. Now, we're either going to have to raise taxes on families who have not been working or cut spending to meet the essential needs of the underprivileged and the disadvantaged, services that are critical to our society. None of these alternatives are really acceptable, but they are all due to Governor Wolf's shutdown of our economy. As a result of this action and one-man rule by the governor, I, along with others, challenged Governor Wolf in a lawsuit filed in the United States Federal District Court in Pittsburgh in May of this year, alleging that he was acting in an unconstitutional manner. Federal Judge William Stickman recently ruled that Governor Wolf's unilateral and arbitrary orders were badly designed and administered and violated multiple provisions of our Constitution. This decision has now been appealed to the United States Circuit Court of Appeals. In the meanwhile, Governor Wolf continues to rule as a king, unilaterally and arbitrarily, despite Judge Stickman's court ruling and despite the fact that the initial goals necessitating the declaration of an emergency have been met, that the infection rate has been greatly diminished, that less than 1% of Butler County's population has been affected by COVID-19, and that the hospitalization rate, which is a true indicator of how serious this virus is, it initially was 12% in April when the virus broke out. It has now been reduced to approximately 2%, which does show advanced medical treatment of the virus. Our treatment modalities are becoming much more effective, so great thanks should be given to our medical community, as the virus has been brought under significant control. However, what has not been diminished is the 24-hour per day, 7-day per week media saturation of this disease. Unlike any other disease in the history of mankind, including cancer, heart disease, polio, and the plague, we live with COVID through the media 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The virus has been greatly controlled, and there have been great advances in medical care and treatment, and we need to still comply with CDC health and safety guidelines. But it is time to trust our doctors and our people going forward and return to our constitutional form of government where we have separate but equal branches of government.
And hopefully, go ahead.
Governor will return to constitutional rule, but it does not appear he's inclined to do so until a vaccine is discovered.
And what I want to ask you, Representative, you know, with all the points that you have made, you know, we've been talking and a lot of people inside the legislature talking about what the governor has done. You know, my question is then targeted to what the legislature needs to do moving forward. You make some valid points in regards to hospitalization rate being down. The case count is going up, as we have seen over the past week here in Butler County. What would be your philosophy then for how the legislature should move forward? Because as you had mentioned, there's no vaccine in sight here for the next few months. What do you believe is the right way to go forward to get Pennsylvania's economy moving again?
First of all, relative to case numbers, with this virus, we are going to see cases, and they are going to go up and down on the spectrum. Tracking the case volume isn't that significant. This is a virus. It will infect people, just like the ordinary flu does. The critical analysis is how many people are seriously affected and end up in the hospital. And we have seen a significant decline in the hospitalization rate, which still remains low. Initially, 12% of the cases were being hospitalized. Now it's approximately 2%, which is a true tribute to the medical community and the advances we have made in the care and treatment of this virus. So caseload isn't particularly significant because the population, for the most part, is experiencing mild, if no, conditions of the virus. The true measuring stick is the hospitalization rate, and it does remain low. Relative to what the state legislature can do going forward, for the past 6 months, we have attempted to put pressure on Governor Wolf, passing bill after bill to open up critical segments of our economy, all of which have been vetoed, and all of those vetoes have been sustained because Democrats have not joined in significant numbers to override the vetoes. So that court case that I and others filed in federal court, which ruled Governor Wolf's edicts to be unconstitutional, is critical. And unfortunately, we won't have a decision before Election Day, but hopefully we will have a decision here by the end of the year. We hope and pray a vaccine will be coming very shortly, which should address Governor Wolf's concerns and hopefully eliminate his emergency rule by edict. But until we get a resolution of this virus, either through the court decision or through a vaccine, Governor Wolf has shown no inclination to stop issuing unilateral arbitrary edicts and return to constitutional form of government where there are separate but equal branches. The legislature has a role in addressing the pandemic, but we have been effectively excluded by Governor Wolf, whose edicts continue to remain in effect as he vetoes any attempt by the legislature to bring a more rational approach to try and restore our economy while effectively addressing the virus.
I do have one final question for you, Representative Bonner, and unfortunately we'll have to keep it rather quick to meet our time constraints. But what legislative initiatives do you think can be done in Harrisburg to help economic growth in your district, which includes northern Butler County?
Well, the potential for growth across the state, not only in northern and Butler County, is we need significant reform in our tax structure. It will be very difficult to attract businesses from other states looking to relocate to Pennsylvania, as Pennsylvania does not have a friendly business and tax environment. Our Pennsylvania corporate net income tax rate is 9.9%, which is the third highest in the nation. Even Governor Wolf, who has never been shy to seek tax increases, has recognized that our corporate tax rate must be reduced. Or we will not be able to attract new businesses to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and we are in danger of losing existing businesses. We also have the highest tax rate on gasoline, which is a major resource that all businesses need to effectively conduct business in this Commonwealth. Overall, Pennsylvania is the sixth highest tax state in the nation. And it's very difficult to recruit major corporations to Pennsylvania who are looking to relocate when we see that our tax environment is not conducive to business operations in the Commonwealth. We need to get our spending under better control if we're going to improve our business climate and grow our economy. We are not going to grow our economy by increasing taxes and continuing to borrow money. We're only going to grow our economy based upon economic growth. With economic growth, it will generate more taxes. We'll have more jobs. We'll have more tax revenue. We will have more businesses coming to Pennsylvania if we can get a more friendly tax and business climate in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which sadly does not exist at this time.
He's Representative Tim Bonner, Republican running for re-election in the 8th Legislative District. Representative, our time is out. We appreciate you taking the time to join us here on WISR.
Tyler, thank you as always, and I look forward to future discussions with you.
He's Representative Tim Bonner, and if you miss any of our interviews this week with candidates throughout all these local races, we will have them posted at WISR680.com. That does it for today, and we'll be back to talk to you tomorrow.